Today's daf is Sanhedrin Daf Yud Ches. Today's shir is sponsored by David Atkin, Le'ilei Nishmas, Harav Avram Ben Yitzchak Isaac Atkin. His grandfather, whose yahrzeit is today, and also sponsored by Avishai and Elisheva Newman, the Zechusar Refuah Shleima for Chaim Naftali Ben Frimit Freidish, to have a Refuah Shleima B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. We are holding on the bottom of, toward the bottom of Yud Ches and Beis, not at the very bottom, at about 10-12 lines before the end of the page, at the two dots, and we're going to begin today with the discussion of the different opinions of how many people need to be in a city before that city warrants its own Sanhedrin, and how we arrive at those numbers. Why would a city need 120 people? Why would a city need 230 people? Why would a city need 277 people? These numbers seem so random. So we're going to explain why these are the critical numbers in order to be able to have a Sanhedrin in the city. And then Bezer Hashem will begin the second parak of Masech Sanhedrin. And the second parak is all about the dinim of a Kohen Gadol and a Melech, both in terms of din, in terms of a Beis Din, as well as in terms of other things. The Kohen Gadol and Melech have special status regarding a whole number of halachos, and the Mishnah is going to identify a bunch of those halachos. The Gemara is going to begin by discussing three possible explanations of what in the world the Chiddush is in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that a Kohen Gadol is done v'danin oso, that he can judge and we can judge him. Of course, he's a human being, he's a regular person, why would we not be able to be done him? Why is it that why would we have a havamina that he's not allowed to be a judge? Then the Gemara is going to discuss that a Kohen Gadol is judged by a regular Beis Din, not even by a Sanhedrin Gadol, for regular things. When he violates an assay or a los assay, he's just a regular, is dealt with the same way a regular person would. Then the Gemara is going to tell us that under which circumstances the Kohen Gadol has to suffer the indignity of testifying. It's a pagam in his kavod abrios, and normally we're very sensitive to a person's kavod abrios. So why is it that a Kohen Gadol would have to testify, or when is it rather that a Kohen Gadol would be called to testify? We're also going to discuss when we're Ma'aber Shana, if we add another month to the year, in case you're missing the Ibur Shana sugyas, so we'll revisit for a minute or two when we're Ma'aber Shana. So what does that do exactly? Does that make it that the seasons this year are just right, or that the seasons this year are a month off? Does the weather in Adar or Nisan that follows become the weather that you'd expect in Nisan, or is it a little bit off because we were Ma'aber the Shana? At the very end of the daf, really going into tomorrow's daf, we're going to discuss why a Kohen Gadol doesn't even do Yibum on an Almanah min Eresin. Even if the girl is still a Basula, he would not do Yibum on her. So let's begin about 12 lines before the end of the page. Of the two dots, the Kamiyeh B'ir V'yeh Ru'il the Sanhedrin, Me'a V'yasrim. First sheet of the Mishnah was you need 120 people in the city in order for that city to qualify for a Sanhedrin. May have asked, may have to tell you, what does the number 120 mean in Judaism? Why do you need 120 people in the city in order to qualify for a Sanhedrin? So the Gemara explains that number is arrived at because we're looking for the minimum qualifications of running a proper Sanhedrin. And these are the number of people that you need in order to run a proper Sanhedrin. How so? You have 23 members of the Sanhedrin Ketana, but then you need three rows of 23 Talmidim each in front of the Sanhedrin Ketana. So that already lands you at 92 people. So we're three quarters of the way there already. You always need 10 people who are doing nothing else in the Beis HaKnesses, who don't go to work, who are available in the Beis HaKnesses. And Rashi points out, because the Gemara tells us that Rakon Baruch Hu shows up to the shul and he doesn't find a minion there, that's bad news. That you always want there to be a sari batlanin. If he doesn't find a sari miyad koes, he right away gets angry. The Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us. So we always need a sari batlanin in the Beis HaKnesses. So that hare meutre. So that right away is 102. Ushnei sofrim, you need two sofrim in the Beis. And ushnei chazanin, you need two chazanin in the Bezin, meaning to gabayim, to make sure that to mete out the punishments and to subpoena people to the Beis Din, send out the messages. Ushnei bale dinin, and in any typical case, you're going to
can have two balei dinin. Ushnei edim, you need two edim. Ushnei zomim, you need the potential to have two people to be mazim the edim. And not only that, ushnei zomim be zomimin. Now, even though hazama could go on forever, you could have zomim be zomim be zomimin as well. But we don't need that many to make sure that it have a functioning optimally. We want to at least have the possibility of zomim and zomim be zomimin. Hare mea va'arbesar. So that already gives us 114. Vitanya, now we need six more. So where do we get six more? Why do we need six more? Kol ir she'ein ba asara dvar malalu, ein talmud chacham rasha elo debetocha. That any city that doesn't have any of the following 10 things, Tamid Chum are not allowed to live in them. Now, if you're going to have a Sanhedrin, obviously you need to have a number of Tamid Chum there, at least 23 Tamid Chum there that have to serve on the Sanhedrin. So in order for this city to have a Sanhedrin, it has to have the following: a Beis Din Makan V'Yonshin, a Kupa Shel Tzedakah, Nigves B'Shnayim U'Mischalekes B'Shlosha, the Kupa Shel Tzedakah is collected with two people and distributed with three people. So right away, that's five more. So now we're only one away. U'Beis HaKnesses, that's a building, it's not a person. U'Beis HaMercha, it's a building, not a person. A Beis HaKisei, a building, not a person. Good, but we're still looking for that one more person. Rofe, v'uman, v'lavlar. You need a doctor, you need a bloodletter, you need a scribe. Umelamei tinokos, you need a teacher of Torah for young children. So that sounds like four more people, and if you have the gears of v'tabach, so it would be five more people. So Rashi says, on the bottom Rashi, Bezin makin v'chavshin ha'chashvin l'hu la'el, di'ika sanadri govin u'machalkin, havalu chamisha, Mishisa, Debatsu La'el. Five out of the six we already got with the Gabay Tzedakah that collect and distribute. And Rofe, V'uman, V'lavlor, Melamed, Chad Gavra Havil Kalhani. You have one guy who's a jack of all trades, who happens to be the doctor and the bloodletter. Okay, doctor and bloodletter, I could see, right? But he's also the scribe, and he's also the Melamed, the Melamed Tinokos. So all of that is one person. Mishum Rabbi Kiva Omer Af Mine Pira Mine Pira Mi'ir Nesinaim. We happen to mention Rabbi Kiva says that you also need Mine Pira. You need to have certain types of delicious fruits, because that's going to be Meir Esayinayim. It's going to make people wise, and you don't a Talmud Chacham should only dwell in a city that has that available to him. So Rashi's the one that said that they're all the same person. Not everyone agrees that that's how we do the Cheshbon, that it's five people who are involved in the tzedakah, and everybody else is all the same person. And specifically, the Yad Rama is bothered by Rashi, because he says that if you have a Melamed Tinokos that's involved in all these other trades, it's Arur Osa Melechas Hashem Ramiya, that it's a curse on the Melamed Tinokos, that it's going to distract him from his primary focus, which should be to teach the children Torah. You don't want the Melamed Tinokos involved in five other professions. He's not going to be a good Rebbe if he's involved in five other professions. Furthermore, the Yad Rama asks, why can't two of the people who collect the tzedakah also be part of the group that distributes the tzedakah? You need three separate people. Five different people are going to be involved in the tzedakah account, and one guy is going to do all of these other jobs. So the Yad Rama says, no, you need three people for the collection and distribution of tzedakah total. Two of them need to work on the collection, and those two plus an additional guy are going to work on the distribution of the tzedakah. So that's three people total. Then you need three more people, one to be a butcher, one to be a sofer, and one to be a doctor and a bloodletter. And amongst the Asara Batan and the Beis HaKnesses, the Malam de Tinokos are covered through that. Meaning the Malam de Tinokos is not a separate job. Mistama, the Asara Batlanim. What do you want the Malam de Tinokos to be doing? The children aren't going to be able to sit and learn all day long. So the Malam de Tinokos can learn in Kailo when they're not teaching the children Torah. So that's how you arrive at the number six. That's how the Yad Rama understands. The Rambam, in the first paragraph of Sanhedrin Halacha Yud, writes, three people for the Kupa Shel Tzedakah, one for a doctor and a bloodletter, one for a scribe, and one for a Melamed Tinokos. So he does not include the Melamed Tinokos amongst the Asara Batlanim, but he has his own cheshbon of how we arrive at this number of these six extra people. Fine, then the Mishnah said, Rabbi Nechemia Omer, that Rabbi Nechemia said you need 230 members of the city, because Sarei Asaros, that you need one member of the Sanhedrin, Keneged every 10 people in the city. So that makes sense. That's how we arrive at the number 230. But Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Masai Meshim Meshiva. Rabbi says 277 people in the city. city warrants a Sanhedrin of 23 judges. Iva Tanya Rebbe Omer Masayim Shivim Shmona, but didn't Rebbe say you need 278 people? So it's off by one. Which way does Rebbe really hold? Lo Kasha HaRabbi Yudah Rabbanan. Now it depends whether you hold like Rabbi Yudah Rabbanan. How many members of Sanhedrin Agadol do you have? Are there 70 or 71? Because the reason to require 277 or 278 is you start with a base of 230, and then you need to have the possibility of being mosif on your Sanhedrin Katana. Meaning, what happens when you have a Sanhedrin where it's an 11 to 11 vote, and one guy says Eini Yodea, or you have a one-person majority Lechova, it's a 12 to 11 Lechova, and you can't judge 12 to 11 Lechova, you can't have a one-person majority. So in those cases, we add another two Dayanim, and then if that doesn't work out, another two, and another two, and another two. And what's the max? What's the highest number of Dayanim we could have? The highest number we could have is however many Dayanim there are on a Sanhedrin Gedola. Well, how many is that? That's either 70 or 71. So either we have to have the potential of adding an additional 47 members or an additional 48 members to the Sanhedrin Katana. And that's how Rebbe gets to either the number 277 or the number 278 people in the city in order to have a Sanhedrin Katana. Tanu Rabbanan, v'samta aleim sari alafim, sari meos, sari chamishim, v'sari asaros. So how many dayanim do you have? If you have people who are for every 1,000, and people who are for every 100, and people who are for every 50, and people who are for every 10. So sari alafim, sheish meos. So if there's 600,000 people, and you have a sar for each 1,000, that's 600 people. Sari meos, if you have a sar for each 100 people, that's sheish asalafim. That's 6,000 dayanim. Sari chamishim, a sar for every 50 people, shnei masar alef, that's 12,000 dayanim. Sari asaros, if you have a sar for every 10 people, sheshes ribo, then you're going to have 60,000 dayanim. So nimtzu, it turns out, dayana Yisrael, shivas ribo ushmonas alafim v'shesh meos. It turns out that it's 78,600 dayanim amongst the people of only 600,000. So it's got to be the most popular profession, you would imagine, amongst the people. Asks Tosos, wait a second, is that cheshbon correct? Meaning, once you take away the sarei asaros, so then there aren't 600,000 people left, because you just took away 60,000 of those people to be dayanim. So then for the sarei meos, you're not going to need the full number. You're not going to need the full 6,000. So Tosa says, no, maybe these dayanim are all people over the age of 60. Remember, the count of 600,000 Jews in the Midbar is between the ages of 20 and 60. So if these dayanim are over the ages of 60, and all these 78,000 dayanim are over the age of 60, so then you don't. It's not going to be goreya min acheshbon at all. It's still gonna belong to the cheshbon. Sometimes the Gemara has such a similar thing where the Mishnais talk about taking Maisa Rishon and Maisa Sheni. So a guy has 100 bushels of wheat. So you say Asara Maisa Rishon, and the Rishonim ask, what do you mean Asara Maisa Rishon? If you take Truma Gedola, that's 2 for Truma Gedola, so it's only 9.8. That's Maisa Rishon. So say, yeah, we're rounding it off. But over here, the numbers are too big to just say rounding it off. I mean, 78,000 out of 600,000, that's not a rounding error. That's that's a significant number. So that's why Tosas has this different approach. Hadron Lachdini Mominus. Okay, now we begin the second parak of Masech Sanhedrin. So this parak, the first thing Tosas deals with, not the first thing he deals with, but in the bottom Tosas on the page, is why in the world is this parak here? Meaning, we're going to have a parak that's going to discuss all the halachas of a Kohen Gadol and all of the halachas of Melech. Sanhedrin is supposed to be about judges, not about a Kohen Gadol and not about a Melech. It's supposed to be about how Beis Din operates. So it says, Tosos, v'had etan Kohen Gadol basa perakama, mishum da'idi tanya perakama, mili to Kohen Gadol, pasuk v'shayu le'vad etan yilei malo shal melech, t'chashu minei v'achar chozul le'inyano le'hilchos dinin. Because in the last Mishnah, there was only one Mishnah in the first parak, but in the toward the end of the Mishnah, in the first parak, we discussed something about a Kohen Gadol when we were discussing which issues require a Beis Din shal shum ve'echad. So we were talking about a Kohen Gadol requiring a Beis Din shal shivim ve'echad in order to be done is dini nefashos, because called Dvarav shal Gadol has to go to the Beis Din shal shivim ve'echad. So once we mention that din of a Kohen Gadol, we talk about other dinim relating to a Kohen Gadol, and once we're talking about the dinim of a Kohen Gadol, we talk about the dinim of a Melech. And don't worry, next parak we're going to go right back to the halachos of a Beis Din. It's going to be Zebor lo'echad, Zebor lo'echad. We're going to talk about how to choose dayanim on a Beis Din. But this whole parak is in parentheses. parentheses. The whole paragraph is like an aside that we're just going to expound upon the rules of a Kohen Gadol and of a Melech. So says the Mishnah, Kohen Gadol dan v'dan oso, meirum i'idin oso. Kohen Gadol can judge and be judged, he can testify and be testified against. Choletz v'choltzen l'ishto, he could do chalitza, and you could do chalitza on his wife if he dies. Umi yavminas ishto, and you could do yibum on his wife, his brother could do yibum on his wife if he dies. Aval hu enu miyabim reshu asur balmana. He's not allowed to do yibum because his brother's wife is an almana, and a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. Aside from not being allowed to marry an almana, he also has a mitzvah to marry a besula. So he has an asay and a los asay. An asay of kiyum b'besula yikach, and a los asay of not taking an almana as a wife. And we're going to see nafkamina between how you can have a case where there's only one and not the other is if she's an almana mina erisin. She might still be a besula, but an almana mina erisin, it would still be a los asay of not taking an almana. Meis lo meis, enu yotzei achar amita. Let's say someone dies in the Kohen Gadol's family, he should not be yotzei achar amita. He should not walk along with the procession, with the funeral procession, even though it's outdoors, and he's not becoming tamei because he's not hovering over the body, he's not touching the body, he's not walking into a cemetery. It's just the procession that's taking the body out of town. The Kohen Gadol should not do that. If he wants to participate in the procession, he should wait till the coffin turns the corner, then he can turn that corner. I mean, he should always be behind where he's not able to see the coffin, but he's just going in the same route that the coffin is taking. And going in that way, he can follow them until the gates of the city, but no further. That's Rav Meir, because the cemetery was always outside the city, so he can follow them until the gates of the city, but no further than that. Rabbi Yudomer ein yotzei min hamikdash, you know, he's not even allowed to leave the mikdash at all. Mishum shenemar umin hamikdash lo yetzei, because the pasuk says umin hamikdash lo yetzei, so he's not allowed to leave the base of mikdash at all. The Gemara is going to have a discussion in tomorrow's daf that according to Rav Meir, since there's a heker in the way that he's following, so you don't have to be choshesh that asi l'minga. You don't have to be choshesh that he's going to come to touch the body. Whereas Rabbi Yudah holds, Agav Marore Dilma Mikri Va'asi Vinaga. He's going to be so bitter and so upset and so tzubrachin that while he's going, he may lose himself and he's just going to run after the Aron and touch the Aron. He's going to touch the mace and it's going to be a problem. So it sounds like the whole machlokas is only on a level midrabana, not on the daraisa level. Meaning it's not really about the pasuk min hamikdash lo yetzei. The Gemara's whole discussion is, are we concerned that he's going to touch the body? That sounds like a chashash midrabana. And that's what the Ramban writes in his Hasagas to the same for mitzvos in Shoresh Hay, that this whole thing is a gezeira midrabanan. Rav Shachter points out in Sefer Ginas Egos in Simul Chavav in a footnote that that's meduyik in the Mishnah. The Mishnah quotes a pasuk. He says, yeah, but you have to pay attention. Sometimes the Mishnah quotes a pasuk. It says shenemar, and sometimes the Mishnah quotes a pasuk and it says mishum shenemar. Shenemar is a din d'oraisa. Mishum shenemar is it reflects a din d'rabanan. So and the pasuk is only Asmachta. So that's why over here it Dafka says Mishum Shenemar. It doesn't say Shenemar. Rav Sternbach has a similar ha'ara when Rav Sternbach talks about the tefillah that people say before Sfiras HaOmer, where they said that they wanted that their Hinni Muchan Muzum and the Kai Mitzvah Shal Sfiras HaOmer, Kamosha Kasabatoro or Shenemar. So he says, don't say Shenemar, because Sfiras HaOmer Bizmanazeh is Midrabanan. You can say Mishum Shenemar, Rav Sternbach says, because you have to realize that the mitzvah that you're fulfilling is only a Mishum Shenemar. It's only Drabanan that's associated with the Pasuk, but it's not the mitzvah Doraisa. So that's a diuk that the Achronim make. Okay, says the Mishnah further about a Kohen Gadol, k'shu menachim acherim, when he is menachim other people who are avelim, derech kolam overim b'zeh achar zeh, v'mumunu m'matzo beino levena am. So everyone passes by the mourner, and the mumuna, his assistant, sandwiches the Kohen Gadol between him, between the mumuna, and between the rest of the people. Meaning it's derech kavod to walk in the middle. So the Kohen Gadol goes in the middle, and he's in between the rest of the people on the one one side and the mamuna on the other side. Ukshumas nachem me'acherim, and when he receives nechama from other people, kol ha'am omrim lo anu kaparascha. Everyone says to him, we should be a kapara for you. V'omer lehen tisparchu min hashamayim, and he says to them, you should be blessed min hashamayim. So that's an interesting thing. What does anu kaparascha mean? Says Rashi, banu tischaparata v'anachnu tachtecha l'chol aroi lavo alecha. That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has determined that you are supposed to suffer in some way, we would rather bear the burden of that suffering rather than you bear the burden of that suffering. In the Sefer Kol HaRamaz, he says, Dafka to a Kohen Gadol, we say this, not to a Melech, because Kohen Gadol, most of the time, is the Rabban Shal Yisrael. So he's the one that deserves this great kavod to say something like that too. And furthermore, he says, Kohen Gadol is going to respond to them to Sparuch Min HaShemayim, so they don't have to worry by saying Anu Kaparascha that anything's going to happen to them, because it's immediately going to be followed by a bracha from the Kohen Gadol. But in the Tshuvas HaTashbetz, he says from here that no, it's not only Kohen Gadol, any Adam Gadol that's mitzta'er during his lifetime, you could say Hare Anu Kaparascha. It's a Tashbetz in Chelek Alev Sim Kuvchav Beis, and he says just like when a person's father or Rebbe Mufak dies, so within 12 months he says Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo. So what's he saying? It's a derech kavo to say that I should suffer the burden of his sins. I should be his kapara. So the same over here, and that's halacha pesuk in Shulchan Aruch. A lot of people don't know that. They talk about their deceased parents, so they say zechron levracha, which is correct. You're supposed to say zechron levracha after the 12 months. Within the first 12 months, it's Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo. After the 12 months, we assume the Kapara's already gotten. The Kapara's already over. That's why the Kaddish is only 11 months, that they only need Kapara for 12 months if they were Rosh HaGomer. So we assume, we like not to assume that they were Rosh HaGomer, so we say Kaddish for 11 months. So that's the Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo. So the post can discuss, is that really possible? Can you be a Kapara for somebody else? Can I take upon myself someone else's suffering? Meaning, every once in a while there's somebody that decides he doesn't want to be religious anymore, so he puts on eBay or something that he's selling his mitzvahs. He's selling the schar of all of his mitzvahs. Okay, so there's a discussion in Poskim whether you're allowed to do that. What about the averos? If, let's say, I find someone who's willing to take it upon himself, he's willing to take the kapara for my averos. So is that a thing? Is a person able to do such a thing? So Rav Moshe deals with this and he says, no, it's not a thing. A person can't do that. It's not possible. Rav Moshe says, it's a manner of speech. It's a derech kavod. That's how you machabed a person by saying Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo, that Ki'ilu, I wish I could, but obviously I can't. And he's medayik from the Mishnah Maseches Negayim, in the second paragraph of Maseches Negayim, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, B'nei Yisrael Ani Kaparasan. And the Rambam says Ani Kaparasan means Sheyusam Pidyonim, that it's Lerov Ahavaso. So it sounds like it's just a mimer, it's just something you say. In the Tshuvas Bitzal HaChacham, Rabbi Tzal Stern disagrees with Ramosha, and he says, of course you could be Mekabel Kapara. What else was Rivka's doing when she said, Alai kilalascha b'ni? She comforts Yaakov and says, don't worry, if you go and you take these brachas and your father gets angry at you and he curses you, Alai kilalascha b'ni, it's going to be on me. How could she take that? The Sforna writes that I will be tachtecha, I will be in your place to receive the klala. Is that the best raya? It's not the best raya, meaning she deserves it. She's encouraged, she's being maces him to do this. So that's why Alai kilalascha b'ni, that if your father gets angry, it really was my idea. It wasn't your idea, but stam, just to take someone else's kapara, that's it's hard to imagine that a person is able to do that. But anyway, so this is part of that discussion. Anu kaparascha, says the Mishnah further, shemavrnoso kala amesumin ala aretz v'mesav ala safsal. When they do su'udas havra'a, which is the meal, the first meal that they give, the halacha is that an avel, the su'udah rishon, is not allowed to be ochel mishalo, and that's why the minag is that we drop off, you know, some bagels or whatever, it's usually nothing too fancy, but we drop off some food as a su'udas havra'a for the first meal that they have. Our minhag is we drop off all the food for all the days, because the avil's not going to have time to cook, and he's not going to, what else you can do? You're not going to be able to replace the niftar, so we do whatever we can to just make their lives easier. So we're menachim them and we give them food. But mikra din, halacha is that first su'udah they're not allowed to eat mishalem. Usually it's the only one that they want to. It's the only one they want to eat mishalem, because to work out the logistics of getting someone over there to bring the su'udah savra is could sometimes be a headache because they're just coming back from the funeral and they're hungry and whatever. And the whole rest of the time, they have more food than they need coming from the outside. They have more food than they could ever have dreamed about. But the halacha is the opposite. The Suda Savra has to really be that they have to be very careful not to eat from their own food. So when they're giving the Kohen Gadol the Suda Savra, so everyone is on the ground and he sits on a bench. Hamelech lo dan velo dan aso. So once we discuss the Kohen Gadol, we're also going to discuss the Melech. A Melech cannot be a judge nor be judged. Lo meid velo miidin aso. He doesn't testify, nor is he testified against. Lo cholet velo choltzun ishto. He doesn't do chalitza, nor does chalitza happen on his wife. Lo miyabim velo miyabim ishto. He can't do yibum, nor can anyone else do yibum on his wife. Rabbi Yudomir imratz alach lo tzaliyabim zach letov. If he's interested in volunteering to do chalitza or yibum, so wonderful, let him do that. Amrlo ain't shaman lo. No, we don't listen to him. We do not allow him to be mochel and is covered in that way. Ve'einos in almanaso. You're not allowed to marry the almana of a melech. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Nosei Melech Almanaso Shel Melech. You are only a Melech is eligible to marry the Almana of a Melech. So if a woman marries a Melech, she should realize that if God forbid anything were to happen to her husband, she has a very limited pool of candidates who to marry in the future. Shekein Matzino. Where? How do we know that a Melech is allowed to marry the Almana of a Melech? Shekein Matzino BeDavid Shanas Almanaso Shel Shaul. We find that David married Shaul's Almana. Shemar Vetnul Chas Beisad Denechaves Nesheya Denechavechekecha. That he's going to take. In fact, when people wanted to rebel, it happened to David, when his own children wanted to rebel against him, so one of the ways they would position themselves for rebellion is taking one of the former wives of the Melech. One of the ways they would want to position themselves to say that I'm going to be the next king, let's say, so it would be to take one of the wives of the Melech, and that would show that I must be a Melech if I'm going to take the wife of a Melech. Says the Gemara, Kohen Gadol done pshita. Isn't it obvious that a Kohen Gadol can be done? Why would a Kohen Gadol not be allowed to serve as a dayan? So Gemara says, first possibility, done no so with Srichile. You're right, the Chiddush is that you're allowed to be done the Kohen Gadol. Says Gemara, well, hanami pshita. That's also obvious, because ilo denin lei, If you can't judge him, then he can't be a judge. That's one of the basic qualifications of being a dayan. Is he has to be someone who can face the music himself. Vaksiv, the pasuk after all says, Hiskoshu v'koshu v'amrei shlakish kashedatz v'chavachar kachashet acherim, that you have to be able to withstand the pressure yourself, and only then can you apply that pressure to other people. If they can't judge you, you can't judge them either. So that can't be the pshat that the chiddush is that we can judge him. So says Mar Ella, rather the second possibility, what is the Chiddush? I did the Kabbalah Missy Melech lo dan v'lo dan so Tananami Kohen Gadol dan v'danin. Eino Chidami, there is no Chiddush in that a Kohen Gadol can be judged and judge. Rather, we only say it because we have to mention that the Melech cannot judge or be judged. So we contrast that with a Kohen Gadol who can judge and be judged. V'iba Yisema, or another possibility of what the Chiddush is, Hakamashman, Kiditanya Kohen Gadol Shargas and Nefesh Bemezid Narag Bishogeg Gola. If a Kohen Gadol kills someone Bemezid, he gets killed. If he kills someone Bishogeg, he goes to Golas. Vovra Alase Valosa say, we'll have to explain that one later, that he violates Nase and Alosa say, that sounds strange, meaning that makes it sound like, and he should make sure to do his fill of Averos, so that's a little odd. Vareu Kahedyot Lechol Dvarav. And he's treated like a regular person with regard to all of these things. So Bemezid Narag Pshita. Obviously, if he kills Bemezid, he gets killed. No, Bishogi Golit Srichle. The Chiddush is that even a Kohen Gadol will go to Golus. Hanami Pshita. Isn't that obvious too? A person who kills Bishogi goes to Golus. Why should a Kohen Gadol be any different? The Isrich. Salkadait Chamina Holuk Siv, Yashaba and Mosa Kohen Gadol. Since the halacha is, how long do you stay in Galus? You stay in Galus until the Kohen Gadol dies. So I might think only someone who can ever get out of Galus goes to Galus in the first place. But a person who would never be able to get out of Galus should never go to Galus in the first place. And the Kohen Gadol will never be able to get out of Galus because he can only get out when he dies. And that's obviously too late for him. Ditznan, Hahore Kohen Gadol, O Kohen Gadol, Shaharagas Nefesh. Eino yotzei misham liolam, so he can never leave. So ema lo ligli, I might think therefore that he cannot go to Galus. So kamash milan, therefore tells me that he can go to Galus. Ve'ema achinami, maybe we say in achinami he can't. Amarkra lanus shama kol rotzeach. And what do we darshan from the word kol? The extra word kol. Afilu koin gadol b'mashma. When we say every rotzeach runs to galus, every rotzeach means even a koin gadol runs to galus. So that's the chiddush of saying that a koin gadol is done v'danu so that he's going to have to go to an ir miklat if he were to kill someone b'shogeg. That's the whole chiddush. Not about regular cases where we're dan him. Of course, in regular cases he can be a judge and we can dan him. Tosin, the top Tosin is bothered. Is that really true that if a koin gadol kills zayni yotzi misham liyolam? If you learn the sugyas of Maseches Makos about going to an ir miklat, there are multiple Kohanim Gedolim. There's a Kohen Meshuach Muhammad. There's a Kohen Sha'avar. There are different Kohanim Gedolim. So the sugyas discuss which Misa of which Kohen Gadol will get the guy out of Galus. You don't need all of them to die. You need one of them. So it could be that there's more than one person's death that will get a person out of Galus. For example, the Kohen Meshuach Muhammad, according to everyone, the Kohen Sha'avar is a machlokas, but a Kohen Meshuach Muhammad, according to everyone, will get the guy out of Galus. So maybe this is your regular Kohen Gadol, and there's another guy who's the Meshuach Mulchama, so this fellow killed someone b'shogeg, he could still get out if there's a Meshuach Mulchama. Furthermore, Tosa says, leaving an ir miklat based on the Misa of the Kohen Gadol is based on the time of the Gemar Din. It's not based on when the murder happened, when the killing b'shogeg happened. It's based on the time of the Gemar Din. You would imagine that if a Kohen Gadol killed someone b'shogeg, they would find someone else to take his place while he's dealing with his issues, right? While he's dealing with having to figure out whether he's got to go to Galus, they'd appoint someone else. It's only at the time of the Gemar Din that if they don't have a Kohen Gadol. So Tosa says, yeah, in Achinami, he only won't leave Galus ever if they didn't appoint a replacement before this Gemar Din, and there happened to have not been a Meshuach Mulchama in place at that time. That's what Tosa says on top. Pirush kigon shalom minu acharat shenigmar dino, and kigon delaka Meshuach Sha'avar v'laka Meshuach Mulchama. The Meshuach Sha'avar machzor tzeh, sorry, Meshuach Sha'avar is the divrei kol, is machzor tzeh divrei kol. Meshuach Mulchama is a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. But so it has to be that there is no Meshuach Sha'avar or Meshuach Mulchama either, and only then do you have a case where he would never leave the ir miklat. But just parenthetically, another point to make over here, this idea that in order to qualify to serve on a Sanhedrin, you need to be done in oso. It needs to be someone who they could judge. And not only could serve as a one can only serve as a judge if he can be judged. So this was the subject of a very interesting historical discussion in the Tshuvas HaRashbeitz, in the Tshuvas HaTashbeitz, in Chelek Aleph, Simen Kufnun Ches, to Kuf Samach Aleph. The Tashbeitz had to deal with the following issue. In the generation of the Rivash was appointed by the king of Spain to be the one who's in charge of all Dine Torah involving the Jewish people. And no one else was authorized to be a Dayan other than the Rivash. Only the Rivash was authorized to do that. Then after the Rivash died, the Kehila wanted the Rashbeitz, who is the author of the Sefer Tashbeitz, Rabbi Shimon Bar Tzedek, so he's called both the Rashbeitz, the Tashbeitz. They wanted him to take over the job of the Rivash, but they asked that he shouldn't be Mevakesh Roshus from the Melech. He should just take over the job without having the smicha from the Melech to do this. So the Rashbeitz writes a whole bunch of tshuvas about, from discussing every different angle, if it makes sense for him to try to get Roshus from the Melech, and what the power of doing that is al pi dinei Torah. And ultimately what he struggles with most is how the Rivash was allowed to judge at all. Meaning, once the Rivash had this smicha from the Melech that he and only he is allowed to serve as a judge, that should immediately disqualify him as a judge. Why? Because our Gemara said, k'shot atzpcha v'acharcha k'shot acherim. Only if someone can judge you are you allowed to serve as a judge for somebody else. By law, no one was allowed to judge him. So Mela, he shouldn't have been allowed to judge anybody else. The only person that can answer that question was the Rivash, but he was dead already. They didn't know who to ask the Shaila to. Why was the Rivash allowed to do this? Why was he allowed to serve as a Dayan? So the Rashbit says, well, maybe it's because he could still be judged by Arko Shel Goyim. So he says, come on, that's not done in Oso. Arko Shel Goyim doesn't count as anything. Oh, maybe if if a Beis Din in another country outside of the jurisdiction of this melech would bring him to court so that he could be judged over there. So maybe that counts for something. But he says, Eved Lo V'Lishma, that the only time that you ever have to travel outside of your city to face a Din Torah is if you borrowed money from somebody. Any other case of Din Torah, there's no Din of Eved Lo V'Lishma, you don't have to travel. You can stay where you are. There's no power of the Beis Din to make you travel. So he really struggles with this. And Rabbi Yonis Naibshitz in the Tumim and Simon Gimel quotes this discussion, and he says that the Tzav HaMelech that the Rivash had to be done alone must have been that no one else can join with him. Because if the halacha was that others were allowed to sit on the same Beis Din as him, so then it's not a problem at all. Because Tosus over here writes in Dibra Maskel Vaha, and we'll maybe get to it a little bit later, but Tosus says that even though Melech is not Nidon and he's not done, that's only when he's alone. But if you put other people with him, he's allowed to be done, because it's not Nigmar Al-Piv. The Din is not Nigmar Al-Piv. So this whole halacha that you're not allowed to be done unless they could judge you is also only if you're doing it alone. But if there are other people, so it could be that the Tumim says it could be a simple answer, that the Rivash had the authority to be the Av Beis Din of every Beis Din. That was it, but he didn't have to be the only Dayan. Maybe if that's historically the way it was, then it's not a kasha to begin with. Of course, the Tumim is living many years later, and he's just trying to, you know, he probably has no idea what the Rivash's license was. Was it to be the only Dayan or to serve as one of the Dayanim on a Beis Din? And then the Tumim says, nah, since outside of Medina Sfarad, they could have judged him, and you could be Toveim to Din, that's called that you're able to be Danim. The Tashbates rejected that. The Tumim thinks that that's good enough. The fact that they could bring him to within Torah somewhere else outside of the jurisdiction of this Melech, he thinks that's enough of a reason. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Overall, Aseh Valos Aseh. So we said in this Brisa that the Kohen Gadol should violate Aseh and Los Aseh. So says the Gemara, what? Losagi Delo Avarachi? We recommend that he violates Yisurim. We recommend he violates Yisurim. Says Mar, no, Hachi Kamar. Im Avral Aseh Valos Aseh, Hareu Kedil L'chol Devar. Now, all we're trying to say is that if he does violate regular Yisurim, Aseh, Los Aseh, we treat him with the basin of three, a regular situation. So Pshita, of course, why wouldn't we? So Salkatay Techamina Holu Tanan Ein Dan Los Hashev Los Navi Hashakar Los Kohen Gadol LLP Basin Shlushim Ve'Echad. I might have thought that since we said in the Mishnah in the first parak that a Kohen Gadol is only dealt with the Basin Shlushim Ve'Echad V'Am Rav Ad Barava Kol Adavra Gadol Yaviu Alecha Dvarav Shel Gadol, and we said Kol Adavra Gadol Yaviu Alecha, and we said that means issues relating to the Gadol, to the Kohen Gadol Ema Kol Dvarav Shel Gadol. So I might think every Dvar Shel Gadol, every matter involving the Kohen Gadol, even a minor, small claims matter involving the Kohen Gadol, requires a Sanhedrin Gadol Shoshim Ve'echad Kamash Milan. That's why we have to be taught over here that no, if he doesn't, I say, we'll take care of it in a Beis Din Shel Shlosha. Ve'im Achinami, but why not say Kol Devar Shel Gadol? So Miksiv Divrei Gadol Had Dovr Gadol Ksiv Dovr Gadol Mamish. It has to be a big deal. It doesn't say Divrei Gadol, everything involving the Gadol. It means a big deal involving a Gadol. That's what has to be dealt with by the Sanhedrin Gadol. Meir Umi'idin Oso, he can testify, and we can testify against him. Meir, he can testify. When it comes to the Halacha of Hashavas Aveda, the Torah uses the word Vesalamta, which says, in a certain sense, you're allowed to hide from the Aveda, cover your eyes, pretend you don't see it, not pick up the Aveda, which is strange. I mean, the real context of the pasuk is Lo Tira Eshar Achicha Oseh Nidachim Vesalamta Mehem. You should not see your friend's stuff and hide your eyes from it. But the fact that the lo is so far away from the Vesalamta allows the Gemara to darshan Vesalamta as if it's telling you a mitzvah to not do Hashav's Aveda, to dafka not give back the Aveda. So sometimes you're not allowed to hide from it, sometimes you have to. Haketzan, in which situations can you avoid Hashav's Aveda? Kohen Vubebeis HaKvaros. You're a Kohen, the Aveda's in the cemetery. Zaken Venel Fikvodo. You're Zaken and the Aveda is a pair of underwear. It's not Lefikvodo for you to pick up such a thing. Or your time is more valuable than what that Aveda is worth. In any of those cases, Vesalamta. You don't have to do Hashav's Aveda. So, bottom line is, you see that for Kavod Abrios, if it's beneath your dignity to do the mitzvah, we don't require you to do the mitzvah. So, isn't it obvious, therefore, shouldn't it be obvious, therefore, that a Kohen Gadol should not have to be made? Isn't it beneath his dignity to show up to court to testify? Why then does the Mishnah say that a Kohen Gadol has to be made? Amar Rav Yosef, made the Melech. When we say that he's mayor, that's only in a case involving the king. So that's not beneath his dignity. What do you mean a case involving the king? Vatanan, lo dun velo dun no so, lo meid velo meid no so. The king, there is no cases involving the king. You can't judge a king and you can't be mayor against the king. Elam arbezerim mayor leben melech. We're mayor for the ben melech. Yeah, that's when the Kohen Gadol would have to show up to court. Says Gemara, Ben Melech, head yotu. This is Judaism we're talking about. There's one position of Malchus, and that is a Melech. There's no such thing as a royal family. There's not even such a thing as a queen in Judaism, meaning Melech v'la Malka. Now, obviously means that a woman's not allowed to be a Melech, but there's no position of queen. There's no position of prince. We don't have any of that. Ela Meid Bifnei HaMelech. It means to be made in the presence of the Melech. That's not beneath the Kohen Gadol's dignity. But a melech is not allowed to be a dayan. No, the melech is going to show up to the Beis Din because of the glory, the honor of the Kohen Gadol. And what's going to happen is he'll sit there as we go through the whole case. When the Kohen Gadol says his testimony, the king will be there. Then the king will leave, and the dayanim will deal with the case, and the dayanim will figure it out. But that's the only situation that a Kohen Gadol could be made in the presence of a melech, because only then it's not beneath his dignity. Okay, but Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Gufa. Oh, yeah.